Today's daf in Masechet Shviit, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Chet, and we're holding right at the bottom of Ayin Zayin Amud Beis of the Machlokas Reb Shimon ben Lakish and Reb Yochanan. Now remember, we've been talking about the case in the Mishnah where somebody has Peros Shviyas that he got as a Yerusha or he got as a Matana. Now the Mishnah never explained what exactly it's talking about. Are these kosher perishvias or are these non-kosher perishvias? Were they shmurim? Were they after the zman of biur? So the Mishnah had said that we have a machlokas between Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachamim. So Rebbe Eliezer says, give it away to people who can eat it. Yinatnula ochleyem. The Chachamim say, no, ein chotei niskar, sell it to people who will eat it. That is very unclear what exactly that was all about. What do you mean? Sell it. So now we have this machlokes between Reish Lakish and Reb Yochanan, but how to understand the Mishnah. So Reish Reb Shimon ben Lakish Eimer b'peirot avirayim asnisa. Our Mishnah is talking about peiros where the person who was morish it, he had not taken biur, and because of that, it became aser. Now when he died, those peiros are passed on to his heir. So Rebbe Eliezer is saying that even though it's post-biur, the people that you'll give it to, according to Rebbe Eliezer, would be allowed to eat it, because basically, since you yourself were not the person who wasn't mekayim the mitzvah of biur, so we're not going to give you any kind of knas on having it around le'achar biur, and therefore you would be allowed to give it to people that would eat normally. Mashen came to Rabbanon, they taina, that if somebody was over on the Isra of Biur, we have to see to it that ein chotei niskar. How is it ein chotei niskar? That even though he wanted to give this as a inheritance, that they're going to have to end up paying for it. And that way it won't be niskar. All right. That's one approach. There's various approaches to the Mishnah. And the truth is, there's very, very many different approaches to the Mishnah. But the other approach that we could learn is that when it says give it to people who are ochleihem, it means dafka, give it to the other people, not to you yourself. And what it means over here is that if he himself has to go give it to somebody else, so then he is usher to it, eat it, because that way the person who is over it, nothing that he gets is going to be given as something that came from him, because the person that he left it to is not going to be able to eat it. That if they are going to be getting it, and they're not going to have to pay for it, so that's also the person who bequeathed it was also getting some kind of, so to speak, honor out of it. So they answered it even to those people. Fine. Okay. I don't even like either of those, but we'll wait till we see the machlokas first. The question is, it says in a Braita Motzei, and that's a very central Braita because it appears to be the mocker of the Rambam. So it says in a Braita Motzei, Perot Avira, Asur Ligaben. Somebody who finds pairs of shviyas that the person had never taken off biur, so the halacha is that you're not even allowed to touch it. You have to destroy it. So if we have a braita, finally, now we know where the Rambam gets the idea that biur, mamish, needs to be destroyed, and you're not allowed to take it at all. That would be based on this braita, which, as we're going to see, is a machlokas. Not all the Tanaim hold in this braita. So if it's usur, how do you explain the fact that, according to Reish Lakish, he would be allowed to give it away to other people? No, there's a big difference between shanyahi mitziyah, shanyahi naflu al-korcho. If you find something, then you are making the decision that you're taking it, right? Well, I mean, that you're not allowed to do. Mashain King, you didn't over here determine that you're going to take it. And therefore, the Rabbanan did not give you their din, their knas, that li'achar biur, it's usr. But this would all be assumed that the entire halacha would be a derabbanan, and that it wasn't based on a deraisa at all, which, of course, is consistent with the Rambam. So therefore, in a place where you went out of your way to be able to take something that was asr, there the Rabbanan asr'd you to use it. Mashein ken Rabbi Yochanan says, no, what kind of isr? The Mishnah's talking about peiros heter. Peiros heter? Why the heck would Rabbi Eliezer say that you have to give it away to someone else? Pahada tanina and Rabbi Eliezer, amar yinotnu lo chleim? I understand. What's the problem? It's perfectly kosher food. Someone bequeathed it. And you're not allowed to eat it yourself? I don't get that at all. Why can't he eat it himself? Ah, because Rabbi Eliezer, remember, is a shamuti. Shamuti means that he often paskins like Beit Shammai. And Beit Shammai shita we had, remember, before, that he said, Ein oichlin perish shvias bitova, you are not allowed to eat perish shvias, and be makir teva to someone for those perishvias. You can't say thank you. Or you can't be in a position where there's any indication that that person was the owner of perishvias. Because perishvias don't belong to him. So if you play along with it, that he's giving you things that he had no right to be pretending to be the owner of, here, my dear, I have this wonderful gift for you. It's not a gift. The Torah was mafkir these things. What's the wonderful gift? So that itself is a pagam in shvias, and you are not allowed to accept that kind of thing. So he was makbid on that, kidivrei Beit Shammai. So since he holds Rabbi Eliezer all over, goes like Beit Shammai, or almost all over, so he, if he accepts it, then he's going to end up having a karas teva to the person who left it for him or gave it to him. But in that case, there's going to be, so to speak, a violation of the whole concept of the hefker of shvias, because he's going to say, oh, this guy's wonderful for giving me all of these peros or leaving me all of these peros. And in fact, he's not allowed to. So because of that, give the peros and it should be just like everything else. Let other people eat it. Why is it yours? So I understand. And if that's the case of what the rabbanon have against that, why are the rabbanon saying, ein chote niskar? I don't understand. The Rabbanan aren't going to Beit Shammai. So according to Rabbanan, what's the chote niskar? You're allowed to say thank you, according to Rabbanan, for perishvias. You're allowed to have a koras teva for perishvias. So what exactly was done wrong, according to that? No. The Rabbanan weren't saying their shita. The Rabbanan were saying l'shitascha. So b'shitato ishivuhu. B'shitatcha. According to us, there's no problem. I know what your problem is. But you hold that you're not allowed to eat with any kind of akaras teva. So then, why isn't this also akaras teva? Yinatnu la'ochleihem. Give it away, because that's going to address the problem. How's that addressing the problem? We still have in chote niskar. So if you hold that there's some kind of akaras teva, so other people will be makir teva. So then the only thing that you can do is he has to pay for it. Oh, if he has to pay for it, then nobody got akaras teva at all. So then that would be fine. Okay. Again, this is one approach. I guess we'll have to go over it, again on a different day. Omer Rabbi Bibi. Now, I don't know, is Barnea going to tell me I have to stop, or because we finished on an olive? I wanted to get to the part that was Nogea today's daf, which was, okay, great. Amar of Bibi. Haru Rabbi Yosef Ilan Kuntusaya, Shiochumo Otem Liyama Melech. So he said that what exactly Kuntusaya are is not clear, but, it's some type of animal thing. Some say it's artichokes, but whatever. Apparently it wasn't a normal, human food, this type of thing. So now, in this case, the question is, he sold things, and it was after the Zman of Bir. So we said before in the Braita, that the halacha is, you're not even allowed to touch it. And what about here where it was already sold? So then you have to actually, according to Rabbi Yossi, who is the author of that Braita, the din is that you have to throw the money even into the Yam HaMelech, because the money itself becomes usher. Okay? So therefore, you should know that even in the case of Michael Behema, if you learn it's Michael Behema, the money becomes usher, just like the Paris that weren't Mavur itself. Again, this is according to the approach of Rabbi Yossi, that Biur is Mechuyev in actual burning. Rav Mona Shal Rav Chizkia, Mao Miabla Bepunyan Vashkala, would you be allowed to bring the Kafnios? Some actually have the Girsa Kafnios, which are dates that are never really high-quality dates. Would I be able to take them from Eretz Yisrael to Ashkelon? There's two different ways of learning this. Either it's based on the question that we had before about whether Ashkelon, remember we said Ashkelon is considered outside of the boundary of the Olei Bavel, but that we weren't gezer a din of Tumas Eretz Anim on the Avir of Ashkelon. So therefore the question would be, does that difference mean that we don't have also the din of not taking Paris from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz and Ashkelon? That would be because there's no Tumah. That would be one way of understanding it. And the other way of understanding it is whether Kafnias are considered to be, being as they're not a high-quality date, and they never ripen fully, whether there was ever an Isser on exporting them to Chutz Laaretz. Now, here's the part that's nogeya in today's Gemara. It's so strange. So Rabbi Chizkia, he was standing in the middle of the shuk of Kesari, and he sees a guy is coming along with an animal that's loaded up with peres that are usher because it was after the zman of biur, and the person had never done the biur. So what does he do? He turns in the other direction. Delo michemne tani parak. He doesn't want the other guy to see him and to say, help me unload my animal. Because since there's no prika to be done on Isser, so you wanted to make a point of it. You know, normally maybe I'd be looking for mitzvahs. In this case, your animal, there's more than a prika on because it's carrying Paris of Isser. Now, of course, this is Nogea also get today, whether in terms of Yayin Nesach, that was Nogea only in the Akum. But the question is, over here, it belonged to Yisroel? Okay, again, there's many other approaches to the Gemara, but I'm taking this one because it fits today's Gemara so beautifully. Anyway, so Kokach Loma, I mean, look, he's making a big fuss over it. I look in the other direction. I mean, he could just say no, you know. I'm not going to help you. No, because Kadesh, he has say mikomol chiyach. He wanted to make a point, man. Ech, I don't even look at garbage like you. So I would never respond to a request for help from a guy like you. Rabbi Yaakov Baracha heard that story, and he said, man, let me tell you, this guy's mother had a real son. So he's got the chutzpah to sit there in the middle of the shuk of Caesarea, make a point, teach him a lesson. That's a good boy. What can I tell you? The mommy would be very proud. Let me just finish. You know, it's already a perek. Let me finish the perek. So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi used to tell his Talmidim, don't buy me any kind of vegetables during Shemitah unless they come from Sisra's garden. So he was assuming Sisra's garden is that this was an area that was owned by Sisra, the general, from that time. And it actually had belonged to Goyim all along from the time of Knesset Laaretz, right? So he said over there it would be mutter because there was no kiddush on it because it always belonged to Goyim. Anyway, so this Talmud, you know, it's not such a bad thing to be a Talmud of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, because on the way to Sisra's garden, Eliyahu HaNavi comes to talk to this Talmud. And he says to him, you know, you go tell your Rebbe, boy, is he confused. This property doesn't belong to Sisra. It belongs to a guy named Sisra from like 300 years ago. You know, the archaeologists are always making this, you know, that belongs to Sisra. Well, it belonged to Sisra. There was a guy, used to be owned by Jews, you know. So, less had a ginata to Sisra. It used to belong to Jews, the Yudai Havas. And there was a guy by the name of Sisra who murdered him. And he stole it from him, an Aschamine. And therefore, this is no different than any other property that is currently owned by Goyim. And your Rebbe is assuming that, well, he doesn't want to be semich on Yesh Kinyan LeYakum to be mafkia, and so then he shouldn't take it. But I would tell your Rebbe another mitzvah, that in ba'ita machmer al nafshah, you want to even be machmer on yourself. Don't be different than everybody else. Don't be holier than thou. Ishtavoy lechavra. What, you got to go according to the Bnei Brak issues? Go according to the Yerushalayim issues, where they're matir the goy's produce, and therefore go ahead and eat it anyway. that's the girsa we have. But there's another girsa, which is not ishtave, but rather ishtare. Which means you want to be machmer yourself, be machmer, but don't tell other people about it. The other people should be allowed to buy it from wherever they want that's owned by a goy. There was another maisa that the Mishnah said, remember, if you eat even from shvius before you take off challah, so you shouldn't think that there's no chiyuv of challah, just like there's no chiyuv of trumas and maisers during shvius. When it comes to challah, you'd have to take off challah, and you would be chayav misa in the event that you actually ate it as tevel, without taking off challah. Anyway, there was once a maisa of Chad Bar Nash, who was choshed al shmita, and he used to keep things that were be'isr, be'biur, and he says to his wife that after she made her challahs for Shabbos, to make sure to take off challah. She says to him, I'm married to a bum who's chashid on shvius, and he's telling me to take off challah. Oh, he's being holier than thou. What a jerk. Atam rat afkin challah. All of a sudden, you're becoming really frum. Omar Lai said, look, man, challah is a tin in the Torah. I keep the holy book. But this business about shvius, bisman hazeh, that's all these rabbis that just make trouble. That's Rabbi Gamliel and his friends. I don't like those guys. And therefore, I'm not interested in the biur part. Hadron alach apigem varivozin bali neder. Okay, this brings us up to the final perek. Wow. Okay, we've been making some progress here, believe it or not. So, gentlemen, we finished the ninth perek. And we had a lot of issues that I think were still very much up in the air. And because the last daf in the ninth parak is the first time that we've really gotten to see what might be the mocker of the Rambam's approach to Biur and the Ravid's approach to Biur, I just think that it's kedai for us to maybe go over some of the issues as a sikum of the inyanim. So if you don't mind, so let us go back to yesterday's daf and look at it again. So let's see, what were the inyanim that we needed to? I think the main thing we should focus on, starting on the inyanim in the Mishnah, really we should go back actually to the mission itself, so we can see what it is, remember what it is that we were talking about. So the Mishnah began with the question of what you do with the peres at the time that Higia Sha'at HaBiur. Now that's where we had our big machlokas rishonim about how to understand that says Mechalkan Mazon Shalosh Su'uda is the Kolechad V'yechad. You give enough out to everybody that you know. And then we had the big machlokes. What is the deh? Ha'aniyim ochlim achar habiur avalo ashirim divi Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Torah allows people to eat after the biur was done. So obviously, if that's the case, the only problem is that the person who did the biur was the person who was the owner of this sotah, takes everything out and gives it, makes it hefker. He's the one that doesn't eat it because he is asserting, it looks like he's asserting bialis over it. And the whole point of Biur is to make it very clear that you have absolutely no shlita over this at all. Right? That's how Rabbi Yehuda learns it. Now, this makes no sense according to the Rambam, because remember, the Rambam learns that Biur is actually an iser, and you have to burn it. Biur means like biur chametz. Well, biur chametz doesn't mean take the chametz and just say, I am mafkir it, although obviously you may be yotze, hashbata, but that's not biur. Biur is burning it. On the other hand, we never find anywhere a halacha, as those who argue with the Rambam point out, we never find anywhere a halacha of what the dinim is about burial of the ashes or being nenef from the ashes, which every other case of chiv, of getting rid of something, we do have a discussion of. Okay. But in any event, seems clear that according to Reb Yehuda, you're definitely allowed, if you're not the owner, you're definitely allowed to be eating things after the biur, as long as the biur was done. And Rabbi Yossi seems to agree even more. Rabbi Yossi omer, echad aniyim ve'echad ashirim ochlim achar habiur. So that means that there's no one that holds that the biur actually means to get rid of it physically and to burn it up. And later on, as you recall, we get to the Gemara in which we find a Lipa de Rabbi Yossi, you even have to throw out the money and put into the Yam HaMelech. So how could he say that it's mutter for everyone to eat la'achar habiur? There is, therefore, an approach that the Rambam, who holds that the biur actually is destroying the peres, is that his girsa in Rabbi Yossi is that Rabbi Yossi Eimer, Echad Aniyim ve'echad Ashirim, Asurim Achar Habir, not their Auchlin Achar Habir, according to which the Rambam would simply be basketing, which is the standard halacha, that in a machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, we basken like Rabbi Yossi. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi, since he's saying that it's usur to eat, he's the one, which, as we'll switch to in a moment, the Brisa later on our same daf, actually says that there's an iser to eat after the biur. And even money that you got from selling something that was la'achar zman habiur needs to be thrown into the Yam HaMelech, a clear-cut determination like the Rambam. The only place that we had it. Mamish, the last daf. Now, the way that the Ravid gets out of all of this is by saying, if you recall, we had the discussion at the beginning when we were talking about the different approaches to biur. So the Ravid understands the Sholosh HaRotzeis that we were talking about, the Sholosh HaRotzeis L'Shvi'ez, which define when it is that you're supposed to be Mavayir, are actually multi-staged. And what the Mishnah is telling us is that there are two stages. So that initially we have the local loss, which is the Sholosh HaRotzeis, in your area, it's not available. Fine. So once it's not available in your area, then you're mechuyev to do the biur, which is to be mechalek it to your friends and put it outside so that other people can get it. But once it's actually no longer available anywhere in the country, at that point, then we take for granted that, of course, at that point, it means that you're not allowed to be nene from it at all. And remember that there are beautiful remosim to there being two different levels because we have two different psukim. One of the psukim are that min ha-sadeh tochlu ha-tvuata, which has nothing to do with chayat ha-sadeh, and the other one is that the tochlu chayat ha-sadeh. Two completely different issues. So one is mashma only so long as it's available in the field, and the other is mashma so long as it's available to the chayot. So apparently there's two different elements, and this is how the Ravid actually understands it. So where it's nogea, the aspect of the chayot, fine, there it has to do, like we said, with the range of the animals, and would it be available locally to the chayot that are ranging in the type of topography within your area? Okay, that I understand very well. When it comes to the question of whether it's allowed for anybody, there we have min ha-sadeh, meaning that it has to be available somewhere in this sadeh, and if not, then you end up basically being unable to eat yourself. So, moving on in the Mishnah, which we did yesterday, let us also review the next piece because that is a very significant machlokas. And the Mishnah is very unclear. It says that in the event that somebody inherited Shvius Perot, that doesn't say what type of Perot. He inherited Shvius Perot that were usher, that were after the beer, or he inherited Shvius Perot that were just regular Shvius Perot. So it says over there, if he inherits them, or they give it to him as a gift, then Rebbe Eliezer says, you have to give them to people who normally would eat them. So it seems to be saying that you need to share them with other people. You can't just keep them for yourself. The Chachonim say, you can't do that. That would be giving sachar to the sinners. Ein chotei nizkar. What in the world would that be referring to? Ela yimachru, all you could do is you could sell it, but you're not allowed to actually give it away. And the money is then given as by the bezdin to everyone. What in the world does this mean? So yesterday we started the machlokas. We actually went through the machlokas, starting here immediately afterwards, and I shouldn't say immediately, but on this stuff, that Rish Lakish says that the Mishnah is talking about Perot Aveira. Even though I didn't say so, obviously there's got to be a problem. So what problem are we referring to? We're referring to the problem of inheriting Perot that are La'achar Dizman Habir. So what Rabbi Eliezer is saying is, it's not usher to eat, but you actually will share it with other people. And you should not be just taking it yourself. So he's saying if you inherited it, you're allowed to eat it the way you would normally eat it. The way you would normally eat it is you don't keep everything for yourself. And it means that even though an Avera was done, we are not going to be mechayev you a knas based on somebody else's Avera. This guy went ahead, he did the wrong thing, but you didn't do the wrong thing. And therefore, the din of Bior, according to this, is that if you were over, so then you're not allowed to. But if it wasn't your Avera, so then you're allowed to eat it. In this case, you inherited it from this guy. The Chachamim, on the other hand, are saying that, but what about the Chayte? The Chayte was the person who bequeathed it to you. And by his doing what he wanted to do, so he's being niskar. And the Rabbanan don't want a guy to benefit from having done an Avera and not being Mekayim Biur. And therefore they said, you think that you're going to be able to pass on your Averas to people. You're going to get no anah from it. It will not be passed on. Okay? So that's a knas of Ein Chotei Nizkar. And that would be a simple explanation, Aliba de Reish Lakish, of what the Mishnah is talking about. Fine. There's others hold that, as I mentioned to you yesterday, others hold that even Rabbi Eliezer is made, that you're not allowed to eat it. And what he's saying is you can only give it to the other people. And the Chachamim are attaining that actually nobody should be able to be nenet, because if they aren't, so then we're giving sachar to the person who passed it on. Anyway, this is the approach. Gavi, can you mute, say?
Shmuel.
Oh, it's Shmuel. Mute. Yeah, sorry, yeah. Okay. So this was Reb Shimon ben Lakish. Reb Yochanan, so now, before we get to Reb Yochanan, I wanted to bring out to you that basically we have the Braita, the first Braita that we had that seems to go like the Rambam, is V'atani on the top of Ayin Ches, V'atani ha-motse perot aveira asur ligaber. This is quite amazing. You're not even allowed to touch them, meaning you can't have any hanah from Perot that were kept after the Zman of Biur that you didn't do Biur. Now, this is clearly going Aliba the Rambam. And in fact, many of the Mefarshim of the Rambam actually say that this is the Mokar. And how come, therefore, we're ready to allow you to eat it over here? So the Gemara said, because essentially this is a Takana Drabbanan as a Knas. and Shania Hi Mitzia, Shani Shenaflo HaKolcha. It's a big difference between your choice to pick up a Mitzia. So there you're choosing that you want to be Nene from something that there was no Biura. That you don't have a right to do. There's a big difference between that and between something that's a Yerusha. Yerusha is not something that you set out to get. And therefore, there was no knas that was given to you. And we'll have to say that that's true, even though the Mishnah talked about a case where somebody gave it to you as a matana. But there too, you didn't set out to get the matana. And because of that, there was no knas derabanan against you because you did nothing wrong. That's Reish Lakish. And meanwhile, in the course of examining Reish Lakish, we found a mocker for assuming that indeed there's a different gears in the Rambam, and that the psak of the Rambam is a liba de Rabbi Yossi, all of the other cases is a liba de Rabbi Yehuda, and that takes off all of the questions that we would raise against the Rambam. I shouldn't say all, but many of the questions that are raised against the Rambam. Now, Rabbi Yochanan says, actually, the Mishnah is talking about that you inherited absolutely kosher Paris. There was no Isser. Says the Gemara, that's crazy. How could you say that if it's kosher Paris, why does Reb Lezer say that you have to give it to other people? If it's kosher, why should I have to give it to other people? A guy bequeaths Paris to me. There's no Isser on them. Why shouldn't I be allowed to eat them? Ah, so for that, the Gemara answered that Reb Lezer is going Aliba, the Shita Beit Shammai. And Beit Shammai, we learned before that he holds you're not allowed to be Makir Teva for the Achila of Perei Shvias. So therefore, if you end up taking it to yourself, so then you're being Nene, and therefore, you have to share it with others because otherwise you'll feel that you got it from this guy and you owe him a karasteva for it. And so because of that, they said there shouldn't be any sense at all of ownership. And if you have to say thank you, so then you seem to be buying into this guy's view of it. Namely, that he's the owner, and he has a right to bequeath it, and he has a right to hand it out as gifts. You don't have any rights at all, and you're a no-goodnik in actually asserting those rights, and I refuse to be a party to it. That is what Reb Lezer is saying. So because of this, he says, okay, so you're going to have to share it with other people, and that way you don't have that much hanot from it, and you realize that it's all being shared equally because it didn't really belong to this guy. But the problem is that the Chachamim say, no, that's not enough. Ein chote niskar. After all, even if you're only nene from a little bit of it, you're going to end up having a koras teva. But the Rabbanan don't hold a Beit Shammai, so what's their problem? So we answered that they were talking l'shitatcha. In other words, according to us, there's no problem. But you who say you could just, it's okay if you have other people eating along with you, the fact is that for whatever you eat, and the fact is that those people that are ending up getting it from you are ultimately going to have a koras teva for this person. And that's usher, according to you, not according to us. So because of that, we hold that this is not a good enough tikkun. Now, we also then get to the amazing halacha of Reb Yossi, who says that if you have things that were sold, there we're talking about even a ma'achal behema that was sold without biur, that you have to take the money and throw it into the Yam HaMelech. Once again, it seems quite clear that the shita of Reb Yossi is that it's mamish osir. The beer is osir, and the money from the beer is osir. So it seems pretty clear that, indeed, we have to understand Reb Yossi as having said that la'achar beer is osir for everybody, in which case everything would work out here of how it would be teifes even an iser on the mamain. So that introduces mamish on the last daf of the mesechet, because the rest of the mesechet is nageya the dinim of shmitas ksafe. But here we're on the last daf, and we've been thinking, busting our head the whole time when it comes to the yonim of biur. Where did we ever see that there's iser? Turns out that we have these rayas of an iser from these two prices, lo yiga, and furthermore the din. No, I shouldn't say the brighter, but the mimer of the psak of Rabbi Yossi, that you have to be Zurich, the Momon, to Yama Melach. So keep that in mind. And that also allows us two very different approaches to the closing Mishnah, which is what the din is when you inherit Bereshvias. Are we talking about Isser or Heter? Two totally different approaches.